Hello, my lovely podcast friend. How are you doing? What's your life bringing to you? It's already Tuesday and we are heading towards the center of great things in life. On today's show, it's really loaded. We have a few great topics to discuss and we're going to talk about the China tech and the money that flows out of it as an investment vehicle, the oil rigs in the North Sea, the collapse of society, how to survive it, the system of capitalism, not the root of all evil, but the solution for all problems. And then finally, Yellen is out. We gonna leave her and she is gone. She leaves the Federal Reserve. But who is gonna replace her and what's gonna be the policy of the person who replaces her? The interesting part from this will be especially what will Trump do. So that's all on this show, and let me know what you think about it. You can send me a tweet, you can tweet me at Lodewijkhoff, or simply leave a comment below on SoundCloud. And that means it's time for the China tech thing. Most people think that stocks in China are highly overvalued, and let me be clear, they are extremely expensive. And there are really big risks related with investing in China. To give you an idea, most people don't speak Mandarin or Cantonese, so that's one thing. You have differences in law system. So on that side, it's, I would say, extremely important to get it all sorted out properly. And get it out, and I would simply say pick two or three mutual funds who are dedicated on China, who are actively managing the assets, and go in and look at what they are buying in. So are they releasing, for example, every month or every 2 months the holdings, what they have bought, what they have not bought, and with the motivation, and keep on that for just a few years and look at it. I mean, definitely I will get a stock market crash in China, so I would say go in small, get yourself to the resources of the mutual funds and get it out. And the reason I say get the mutual funds is they have access to everything, and they are really interested in getting retail investors, so you don't have the problems. I mean, try to get your investments accounts, try to get Goldman Sachs working for you. It's not gonna happen, it's gonna be a tough shit. So, but there was a lot of talk about the overvalued stocks, but there are some companies in China that people overlook. I mean, who knows Weibo? Who knows Tencent? But to give you an idea, Alibaba, we all know. We also all know AliExpress, which is active in Europe and the United States. But Alibaba is rapidly expanding around the world. They are going to put $15 billion into the logistical operations outside China. So that makes you a global power player. And I'm just wondering, who's going to get the $15 billion in investments? And as a Dutch guy, is there any chance that in the Netherlands some money will go in? I doubt it, because then you need a proper government. And for as far as I can see, the government is trying to do everything to get logistical jobs out and get everyone on benefits. That seems to be the case. But back to China. And if you look at, for example, Tencent, Weibo and Alibaba have the power and the customer base that you need to scale something up. I mean, yes, I know they are protected by the Chinese government, but they have the customers. I mean, if you look at what they are doing, for example, the Happy Singles Day, it is for me something that you give other people a present because you're all single. That's what you are doing. But it's a massive thing in China. It's really working. It's big. Bigger than Halloween, so, which is today or tomorrow, I believe. So that's the interesting thing on what's happening there. But those Tencent, Weibo, Alibaba, they got the banking license. They are a bank. So you got a company with over 1 billion customers, with over 1 billion people sharing their lives, who are an e-commerce powerhouse. Oh yeah, they got a banking license. So where we are talking about fintech and companies like N26 and Bunk, who are just two European startups, or actually N26 is no longer a startup, it's a scale-up, but they are talking about it. But if you look at the companies who survived the internet crash and the dot-com bubble in the finance field, you got PayPal, which I use on my webshop as a payment processing, and ING Direct, which basically blew up the ING group. So there is a point to say that, but what would happen if those companies simply say we go global and we get our license? I mean, the banking regulation is really defined like You have a country, you open offices in a country, and you get customers. And here you have companies who have customers, and they can also bring in banking services. I mean, PayPal is an Irish bank for the European Union. Where will Alibaba and those guys, will they come with their bank? Where will they set up offices? I mean, the Industrial Commercial Bank of China has its European office in Luxembourg. So that's the interest. So where are they gonna go? And more interesting, what are they gonna do and how are they gonna get it? I mean, on that side, I do think that the government of Luxembourg has done it extremely well. And what they've done is really easy. They said, we want to attract those Chinese companies because they're gonna come and we are already a financial center due to our favorable and great fiscal regime. And so we have the money in already, but we want the Chinese money also. Let's make the application forms available in Mandarin and Cantonese, and let's get on the regulator people who can speak it. I mean, it's not that tough. It is something that you can do, but it is that you would say from, well, it is helping them to create customers and secure the growth for the financial center of Luxembourg. Yes, and of course, I know it, the system of Luxembourg is mainly about tax evasion, but it's not a problem. I mean, tax evasion is only possible because you have politicians who are extremely greedy. That's all what it needs. When politicians would become reasonable, then tax evasion would go pretty soon. So the big question is, when will that happen? And also, that I believe last month it was 1.4 and 1.5 billion who went out of China tech ETFs, which is another way to follow it, but it's really just get everything, so no active management and no insights. But they get in there, but it is, people are talking about it, people are afraid of things and they are not doing the research. So I would simply say, do your research, get the things out and get the ball out. I mean, China is coming. China will literally take over the world. Everyone agrees. So the only question is, will it go in one straight line or will it go from peak to peak with a dull and a crash and a collapse in between? And no one knows the answer. I mean, maybe the system collapses tomorrow, but I know one thing. The protection of over a billion customers gives you some edge and gives you an advantage. I mean, it is just something, if you just use common sense brain, you're gonna get there. So let me know what you think about it, and you can simply leave a comment below on SoundCloud or send me a tweet at Lodewijkhof. And that means it's time to have a look at the future of European energy. I mean, most of people don't realize this, but in the next 8 years, then half of the oil rigs in the North Sea will be empty and vacant and available to do something with it. And that creates a great opportunity. I mean, you could, for example, connect them on the electricity grid because there is an oil or gas line. Simply put a high voltage cable on top of that to the oil rig and use that to set up different offshore wind farms. Would dramatically lower the cost. Or you could just get them out and demolish them. But on all sides, I'm going to ask you an easy question. Where are going to get the energy from? Where will we get the oil and the gas from? I mean, Europe is mainly depending on imports from the Middle East, Russia, and the North Sea. So this is going to be the interesting part to see, because they are going to move it out. And the firms who are having the oil platforms, they need to determine now what they are going to do. I mean, those things are really expensive, and I'm just wondering what's going to happen, because this could be an opportunity to attract new business, keep them longer available. I mean, use new techniques and technologies and get all those things in to get everything out. I mean, I'm more from the style drill, baby, drill. I mean, the only good drilling is efficient drilling. But why not also combine it? I mean, you have a great opportunity, and I would simply say, get that opportunity in. And from a government and a regulation, I always see that the government and police think in a certain framework. And I would simply say, hey, energy company, hey, owner, what do you want to do? Make a plan. Make a plan for getting the thing out and cleaning it up. Or make a plan to use it for another 25 years. And how many jobs can you create with it without subsidies? And what's needed from a regulation point of view? It's completely turned around. I mean, it means that you would say to firms like British Petrol, Shell, Engie, have fun, do something, invent it. But you can also get new players in. I mean, what if you would have an old oil rig and that people say, well, it's in the middle of the sea, no one has any problem with it. We put a few wind farms on it and a green energy company gonna get it. I mean, on that side, it's especially interesting to see the last big and utility company that's in the decentral government hands, Eneco, is likely gonna be sold. And it's very likely that the Holland America Line Trust guys are really efficient with investing, so and really smart. And so if you just would say you want to buy one thing and never look at it again and make money on it, then I strongly suggest for you to consider HAL, because they are extremely smart. And yes, because they are smart, they are also incorporated in a low tax jurisdiction. I mean, when they sold this cruise business, they got a few billion in. I believe that's 1.4 or 1.5. Don't look at me, I was a few years old at that time. And they started investing in it, and they got average returns of 15 to 17% a year. They, for example, own the Financial Daily newspaper in the Netherlands. They have 30% in Coolblue. That's a big company in the Netherlands with a few hundred web shops and a few physical shops who are basically rocking retail. They are the largest company in the world in glasses, like Pearl, The House, Eyewiz, is all from them. So that firm is really active. They are doing a lot of things. And now they are looking at Eneco. And the interesting part from Eneco was that Eneco was one of the front runners in the energy move towards global energy and green energy. What they said as one of the first companies in the big energy companies in the Netherlands was, well, we're gonna not renew our fossil fuel contracts. Honor them because, yeah, a deal is a deal. And if you don't honor the deal, we have a problem. We honor the deal. But we're gonna replace it with green energy, and we're gonna launch initiatives around Europe to get the green energy out. And look, for me it's easy. Why should you, as a government, own a utility company? There is no need. So you can sell it to anyone. I don't care. Personally, I would simply say make it a public company, because the shareholders are really divided. So, well, the shareholders who are in it could simply say, well, we're gonna list it on the Amsterdam Stock Exchange, we generate some work for the financial sector, and get the ball out. And then you're going to see also what will be the vision of the shareholders. Will the shareholder go for a short-term win? Or will the shareholder go for a strategic long-term win and be part of the transition in energy field? But what we never should forget is that the company like Eneco is not the objective. It's the way to get there. I mean, if you really want to get in transition in the energy field that's efficient and that's working for everyone, then you need the companies like Saudi Aramco, Gazprom, Rosneft, PetroChina. If those three would team up and start pushing forward the green energy agenda, then you're gonna see the difference. Because they are bigger. I mean, compared to them, companies like British Petrol, Shell, ExxonMobil are peanuts. Literally, I mean, it was announced that when PetroChina went to the stock exchange, the shareholders lost 800 billion since the IPO. I mean, just think about it. Shareholders lost 800 billion. This is something that you would say for good. It's literally large. You could buy every company on the Italian stock exchange and get it all out. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I think the PetroChina is in a great position. They are not burdened by a political correct agenda, so they could do business with anyone they want to do business. They need to supply over 1 billion people with energy. It's going to be an interesting model, but the oil price will remain low. So if you are looking for a more interesting and profitable field than it, I would simply say check out hofprofit.com/innovative-energy and see how you could make some money on the new technologies, the new things, the new big thing, the thing that's gonna be big in the next 5 to 15 years. And don't forget, on the field of energy, you never know when something gets big. I mean, if you just look at what Tesla did, Tesla pushed literally electric mobility forward, together with Lotus with an exclusive race car. But before that, people were talking about hydrogen energy, electric, cleaner diesel. And to be honest, I think that we should simply put all options out and get it all in. It's an interesting way to look at it, and I'm wondering what they're gonna do, because if you could look back at the oil fields and the oil rigs in the North Sea, it means a lot for the energy world what it could happen, especially in correlation with the Brexit, what would happen in Scotland. I mean, just imagine that Scottish energy and all the oil rigs in the Scottish Sea are gonna be used for fossil fuels that is profitable without a subsidy. That would be good and amazing. But let me know what you think. I look forward to hearing back from you. Okay, let's have a look at something really important and you need to think about it. And that's what will happen when the society collapses. I mean, you see it happening in Venezuela, you see it happening, well, basically every year in some sub-Sahara African country. But there is something happening, a society collapse, system collapse, and what's happening then? Well, the interesting part is that you always see the government goes from door to door to confiscate weapons and guns and those things. And before you say that's a great thing, just realize this. In Switzerland, it's compulsory to have a gun at home. There you have a military draft. So just think about this. If you, let's say that you want to invade Switzerland, there is a gun and a machine gun behind every door. But I hear nothing about gun violence from Switzerland. Although I think it are the Swiss people and their mentality of the way they think that is keeping them out of war and keeping them safe for years. So yes, on that side, guns would make the world better. And I would say that if the system collapse, Switzerland is high on the list of places where I would say, well, you have a big chance to be safe, but not sure about it. I mean, just look at what's happening in Catalonia. I'd rather not be in Catalonia at the moment, but I do think that I will bring on a few guests about Catalonia. That would be interesting to get some listeners, additional new listeners on the news. But having that said, and there is something that you need to realize. When the government, the system will collapse, Europe is bankrupt, the US is bankrupt. A lot of countries are technical bankrupt. And supermarkets have a few days food supply in store. But when the people are rioting, would you go to a supermarket or would you stay at home and protect your property? I mean, if you would have a gun, are you prepared to fight off and literally die when the government gets in? I mean, look at the Bundy standoff where the government is trying to tax people. The people stand up and revolt against it. And that's it. I mean, I will be clear, I'm not really a great supporter of gun violence and I'm not that happy with the way that the Bundy standoff was managed operationally. But Bundy had a point and he's not a traitor, he's a hero. So that's one great comment. But just think about this, when the system will collapse, what will you do? You saw it at Sint-Martinique when Hurricane Irma dropped over. The first thing that in the Dutch part happened, people went rioting. People went rioting. I mean, and not for food or water, then I would say from, okay, I don't think it's a great idea, but I can understand what you're doing. People went rioting for printers, for LCD televisions. Yeah, that is literally what you need. And I'm just thinking, if that is the case, I don't like to be there. So where would you, what you do? Would you stay? I mean, it could be that you're simply tied up, but then I would simply say get a second income, make some online money and try to get out. Because, and then also if you want to get out, where would you go? I mean, definitely leave the big cities. Big cities mean lot of people, lot of rioting, and that's not really a great idea to be in, at least if you're like me and you prefer to hold your head on your shoulders, because that's a very healthy position to have it. But what people say and look at then is, we need to do this, and the government will basically say we will get martial law and the army will take command and that's it. And I would simply say, well, I don't trust you. I don't like the idea that the government takes in control. And don't forget that, for example, here in the Netherlands, the government is really already pushing it on. I had the bad luck to be victim of a brutal government and city of Eindhoven, thanks to a great friendly neighbor who says that you're dealing in drugs, and then they check it out and they figure out it's nothing. But also here in Eindhoven was a project called Pizza Geert, basically with one homeless person, they were making a pizza and try to get them out of debt, getting back into life basically. And the place where they are doing it, a few designers want to have it. So simply, what do you do as a great city of Eindhoven? You send the police, you send every government body you can imagine, and you try to push, to bully them out. I mean, that's the way the government works, and that's the way you have to deal with it. And it's terrible for those people. And it's for me that I'm just wondering, would the government also dare to do this when they knew there was a gun behind every door? I doubt it. But unfortunately, we don't in the Netherlands, they're not such great gun laws, so I would sincerely say get the gun laws of southern rural Missouri, which are easy. The only way that the only regulation that they got is no regulation. So that's a great thing. I mean, just that the government says do it yourself. Nay, yeah, and let's have a quick look, because a lot of people complain about what big companies are doing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a big supporter of big companies. I don't. But there is something that they do. And this is where a company is different than the government. A government exists because the company exists because they are offering something that you want to buy with your hard earned after tax dimes. You've worked hard for your money and you decide to spend your money there. The government, on the other hand, simply says, you make money, you work hard, give me the money. If not, I will send people with a gun. That's basically the difference. And yes, large companies manipulate. It's called promotion, it's called advertising. And for example, I always say supermarkets are the best in doing this because they can manipulate you in everything they want you to do. And that's what they are doing, and that's how they are making money. But that's not a bad thing. I mean, I have more confidence in a supermarket than in a government. I mean, come on. The supermarket needs you. The government takes you. But what you need to realize is with every purchase, you are financing them. So if you say that you want to change, you can be that change. I mean, here in the Netherlands, you have a Dutch small bank. It's called Triodos Bank. And they simply say that every time you spend a penny, you make a choice. You can spend that penny in all big companies who are looking at shareholders, or you can spend that penny in a local company who is really for local things and going to protect the environment. And that's your call. And they have a point on it. And what you need to realize is you can make the same choice. And I would simply say for that, have a look. Make a look at how you can avoid your bloody taxes and keep more of your money in and see for the cost that you have, for example, on food and energy. How can you save on them? And Yellen is gonna leave the Federal Reserve, the central bank that was founded after murdering politicians, the bank that started on Jekyll Island, a creature that basically led to inflation and a few big wars. And the boss is leaving. But that's not the big news, because that was old news. For me, it's the big news. What will Trump say when the stock market collapses? I mean, there is an extremely big bubble in the stock market. There's too much money and they need to get it out. But there's no way to get it out without letting the system collapse. So as that President Trump took a lot of gains and hikes on the stock market going up under his presidency, the big question is, will he also take the stock market's full responsibility when he gets things out? I mean, on the financing and the budget, there's nothing he can do. And basically, the politicians decide which inefficient and non-working way they're going to spend the money that they steal from the taxpayers. But what Trump could do is put someone in with a more common sense policy. I mean, what if, for example, gold was going to be part of the, or that they would introduce, basically, let's say that all the government debt would be covered by gold. I mean, it would make gold go up pretty big. And that means that you should have a look at hofprofit.com/gold and buy the gold report and make me some money, please. Now, what the Trump guy is and the Trump president is gonna do, no one knows. And we should not criticize him for the stock market crash that will happen, because, well, it will happen. And it were Bernanke, Yellen, that caused it. So he inherited it. And the only way that we need to look at what he is doing now. I mean, I would be surprised if he was capable, for example, of delivering a balanced budget. Just that the government spends less and getting things out. Just reduce costs. I mean, I have a debate with some Dutch journalists who are living in the United States. I interviewed one of them for the podcast. And for example, Trump was the first president who had an idea and was talking about reducing government debt. At least one of the two big candidates. And I don't say that he has a perfect plan. I just say, hey, finally, there was a guy talking about it. they are busy doing it. Someone is thinking about how to get it. I believe it's now around $270,000 a person of debt being paid back. It's a big amount. I mean, it's a lot of chunk of money. Most people need 25 to 30 years to pay that back if they borrow the money to buy a home. So what's going to be needed? Well, I would simply say stop digging, stop being in a hole, and slowly get out. But that's an interesting part to see what's happening. On that side, yeah, well, what do you think? How will Trump react? I'm going to leave you with this. Tomorrow we're going to all talk about YouTube, and video marketing. Because there are quite some changes in the algorithm and there are quite some new things that we need to talk about and you need to think about. So tomorrow is all on YouTube. Leave me a comment. Send questions. You can tweet me at Lodewijkhof. You can leave a comment below on SoundCloud. And don't forget to check it out. Like the show. Leave me a message. And I look forward to hearing back from you. And I will talk to you tomorrow. And then, yes, it's all on YouTube.